Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Well, now you've done it, Stephen.
What did I do now?
Apparently, my daughter has just told my wife, I'm so excited, I'll skip school for anything on the radio.
Well, you know, that's. I'm sorry, I make that offer to my girls sometimes, you know. I think everyone deserves a... Boy, the parents are going to get pissed off at me. I think sometimes the kids deserve a surprise skip day. Or just, you know, every once in a while. You know what? No. You don't have to go to school.
If you're not missing a whole bunch of school
Let's go shopping.
Days already, sure,
right.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Everyone needs a break.
Yes.
What are you laughing for? I used to take my own, you know, skip days.
Oh, yeah.
So now, right.
Yeah, well... Let's say, we're on the AM radio now, aren't we?
Steven, you're not sick. Wake up.
I'll hold my thoughts for the next Hot Mic podcast.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Jeff, I know you're all podcasted up. If you, I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
No,
if you,
no.
I was going to say listen to the latest episode of...
I don't know if Jeff's ready for that.
Hot Mic with SSJ, but maybe not.
Okay. What's on it?
Jake's views on... The world and
a lot of things.
Several things.
It's quite a journey.
It's over an hour or so.
To orange color glasses, huh?
Yeah.
Or those red color glasses.
They're orange. Good job.
Just like he sees it.
It's all about language, Jeff.
Through Broncos color glasses.
Right. That's orange. Exactly right. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com joins us. Jeff, we were all hot and horny for Whitney Mercilus to sign with the Chiefs yesterday. He didn't. He signed with the Green Bay Packers. Should we just be disappointed, or has he got any gas left in the tank? Or
That's the state of things, right? Where a guy who's playing that poorly is being dumped by the worst team in the league. Everybody's fighting for him.
So the Packers jumped on him.
They need him, too.
Yep.
Yeah, same boat here. So, hey, look, it's hard to know what he would have brought, given where he's at now. And certainly 3-4 years ago, he was one of the top pass rushers in the league, and
he would have brought 3 sacks, which would tie the team's lead.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs are last in the league in sacks. Right?
Are they?
Yeah,
really?
They're last. They have 7 sacks on the year.
Who has them? Who has the sacks? No, Mike Dana.
Dana's got three.
Chris Jones has
two.
Chris Jones has two in that one game, right?
Yep.
So that's 5. So that's a great trivia question. Who are the other 2 sacks on the team?
Sorensen probably has one, right?
Sorensen and Sneed have one, and Chris Jones has two.
I'm in the process of trying to cook up a deal that maybe you could get involved in between the Chiefs and the Lions.
Okay.
To bring Charles Harris home where he belongs, Kansas City, Missouri man.
Lincoln Prep man.
A Mizzou man.
He gave
like $100,000 to the Lincoln Prep program. He's a good guy that would love to come back here to Kansas City. I don't know if he will, but I say he would. He should love to come back to Kansas City. ESPN has an article today written by Bill Barnwell. And he made 10 suggestions for trades. And he suggested the Chiefs give a couple of 6th-round picks for Charles Harris. Only cost him less than $1 million the rest of the year. I say, get on the phone to your people up in Detroit and let's make this happen. Let's just not sit back and let things happen to us. Let's make things happen to other people.
My people in Detroit, huh?
That's right.
I'm
going to
guess Charles Harris, if he gets traded anywhere, is not going to be just for 2 6th-round picks.
Well, Bill,
the desperation's there.
Let's give more. I'm not saying that that's my best offer. Let's go ahead.
But that's a great question to ask, though. Is it worth...
Yes.
Do you think one player is going to change them? You think it's worth giving up a draft pick to have one player come in?
What draft pick?
To get potential impact. Yeah, if it's a 6th-round pick, yeah, you do
sure.
it. But if it's a 3rd-round pick, 4th-round
no.
pick, I don't know if it's worth doing. And I'm guessing that conversation would be had for a team that's last in the league in sacks.
Right, and again, I'm not. There is no... You know, unless somehow is Nate suggested, if somehow the Chiefs could acquire Aaron Donald before the trade deadline, there's no...
I think he would help the team.
There's no one guy that's really... But...
Yeah, he might, yeah.
And again, here I go.
I think he would help.
You can call me Homer and mock me, but I'm just looking for different things that will help the defense improve. Because number one, Chris Jones and Frank Clark haven't been on the field at the same time together except for one game, okay? Now, Willie Gay's back. He played a handful of snaps last week. Now we need to see him become a full-time player. That will help. Getting Charvarius Ward back will help. We saw one big shocking surprise. Juan Thornhill was better than Sorensen. Graded out better, and even though the competition had a lot to do with it. He's still better because Sorensen graded out as the second to last safety in all of football consistently every week, and Thornhill was slightly above average, which that's all I'm asking for right now. So yes, any small improvement anywhere, I'm not going to turn my nose up at.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, and I hear what you're saying. I say this week in, week out. And it goes with what you're saying here, is that the defense will be better when the pass rush gets better. Now, what we don't know is, can the pass rush be better with Chris Jones playing defensive tackle?
Inside, sir!
Rotation at defensive end? We haven't tried that yet. And so, I want to see that first. I just think it's a bad idea to go chasing trades to improve your team. I think unless you are one or two players away from being an elite team, or being a championship team, I think it's fool's gold.
Now, a merciless sucks.
Right.
Because you don't have to give up anything for him.
But if I can get an edge.
Exactly, something like that.
But if I can get an edge rusher for a fifth or a sixth round pick.
Yeah, but how often are good edge rushers traded in this league? It's really, really rare. I think the last time a big time to make this happen. Yeah, but again, and we're not even saying, Charles Harris may be playing in Detroit. It's a better scheme for him than what he played in Miami, where he wasn't that good. You know, that's one of those things. I'm trying to think the last time a really good pass rusher was traded. I'm thinking it had to be Chandler Jones getting dealt to New England. I mean, getting from New England to Arizona, whenever that was, 5 years ago.
Frank Clark?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Not funny.
So I always feel like that's not the greatest move to make. And I think in some ways you are deluding yourself. Brett Veach is smart enough not to go down that road unless he really believes he's going to get a bargain. Yeah, Whitney Merciless makes sense. When Jalen Smith was available, when Stephon Gilmore was out there on the market, it was a DB, obviously a different thing with a trade there. But I think those guys bring a little more value than what you might get making that kind of trade for Charles Harris. For what you might have to give up. He might be a decent player, but if you're giving up too much to get him, I don't think that helps you down the road.
If Whitney Merciless could catch passes, do you think they would have found a way to make it work?
Oh, yeah. He'd be starting. Start next week. That's a whole different topic, right?
Is that really true? Like, is that... I feel like they got Josh... The guys they bring in, like Josh Gordon, they got him cheap, right?
Yeah.
Like but do you really think they would have made a bigger priority to sign him if he was?
I feel like this isn't a knock. Every team's got to make this decision about how they're going to play, where they're going to put the majority of their resources.
Right.
And so they've always been more offensive driven. And so if Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, Josh Gordon is available, we're gonna get him. We need to have that guy because he's a weapon. He's a toy. He's something for Patrick. He's something for Andy. I don't think they have that same view of defense. And so if it's bargain basement time, if you're talking about going over to TJ Maxx and picking up something, they'll be all about that. But if it goes to Nordstrom to go find something, you know, or Saks Fifth Avenue, it's a whole different story.
But they did shop at Saks Fifth Avenue on the defensive line. They're just not getting the production out of it, right? Like what they're paying Frank Clark and Reed and Jones.
Well, they spent a lot of money on Tyrann Mathieu. They spent a lot of money on Anthony Hitchens. They spent a lot of money retaining Chris Jones. They spent a lot of money, a lot of draft picks on Frank Clark. There have been resources put into this defense. They just haven't. They're not producing. Well, Tyrann Mathieu was a great signing, right?
Yeah, but he's not really having a great year this year. Yeah, he's...
Well, and the point I'm making is that when I think Matthew's a different story. People forget this part. They wanted Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
And so Mathieu was plan B, but Frank Clark really was a desperation move. He was a move made out of Breland Spreaks wasn't working out the way they thought he would work out. And Hitchens was the same thing. They overpaid for Hitchens because they had to find linebackers. So that's what I'm saying. When you're making those moves.
And they had D4, they traded him.
Yeah, when you're making those moves to fill holes, I don't know down the road how good those moves will end up looking. And we're talking about two guys now in Hitchens and Frank Clark that have been under scrutiny because of the way they're playing now.
But like to me, And they invested in Jaron Reed. That hasn't worked out. And at linebacker, they spent money on Hitchens. They spent second-round picks on Willie Gay and Nick Bolton. They've spent money on safety. Where they don't spend the resources is where they haven't spent resources is corner.
And they've actually had decent
production.
Which
kind of matters.
Right. But
they've actually had, like, they've overperformed at that spot.
But my point is that to say that they haven't spent resources on the defense is, I think, wrong. They, where they choose to not spend those resources, and like you said, kind of go bargain basement, is corner. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's clearly their approach.
Yeah. I'm saying where they spend the money in these kind of situations when you need to fill a hole. That's the point I'm making, that they haven't done it throughout the whole course of time. It's like when it comes opportunity to get somebody who has a big name, an accomplished career, they tend to go more for the offensive guys in the situation than the defensive guys. That I want to make that clear. And you made a great point there about what they've spent. But look, all this stuff is interrelated. And, you know, I've argued this many times with many different people about defense. Sooner or later, in this league especially, your weaknesses will come up to bite you in the butt. Because teams are too smart, they're too good, they will exploit you. And the Chiefs' advantage 3 years ago was that their offense was so head and shoulders above everybody else that you could say, hey, look, we just need to have an average defense to win a championship. Now it's flipped because offenses now are so good, the gap between the Chiefs and those other teams is not as substantial. And so you need to either play better defense, or if you're a defense playing the Chiefs, you don't need to be elite. You just need to get two or three turnovers.
But might I suggest that if the Chiefs had an average to slightly below average defense, they'd be 5-1, and we wouldn't be having this conversation?
Yeah, but they don't.
I mean, yeah, like,
my point is the offense is still good enough they could get by with a mediocre defense.
That breeds the question, why don't they have that defense?
Well, okay, and again, am I wrong in saying I don't know if they have it until I see all of them on the field together, which they just haven't had this year?
I would say they don't have one. I would say that you're being too generous with the talent they put together. You know, Jaron Reed's been playing a long time. What do you got to do to make a tackle? You got to have, like, everyone
else
to make a tackle.
Wildly disappointing.
But we point out, like, Frank Clark and Chris Jones haven't been on the field together at the same time, except for once this year.
And it's not so much, boy, I got to see more Frank Clark. I thought he had a better game last year. But if you've got Frank Clark and Mike Dana playing, you know, on the edge, you could put Chris Jones back in the middle where he is better. What has the linebacking group screamed for? Youth and athleticism and some more speed. Then there's Willie Gay and then Nick Bolton. Play them together. What did everyone in Kansas City scream for? Juan Thornhill at safety instead of Sorensen. That makes him better, and they get Charverius Ward back. So there is at least some real evidence there that the Chiefs could be somewhat better. How much better, I don't know. They don't have to be average. They just have to be okay.
Yeah, well, and what I'd argue with that is that I think people underestimate how much Spagnuolo has coached up this defense, the talent he's had over the last 3 years. And I think that that's been a big reason why you've seen, you know, they don't have great corners. They have mediocre corners.
Yeah.
They play well in this system.
Yep.
Case in point, Bashaud Breeland. He goes to Minnesota. He's garbage there now.
Every week. Yeah. He tweets an apology to Vikings Nation, by the way.
And so that's what happens over time. People begin to see what you're doing with the talent you have. And if your talent can't win consistently individually, then it doesn't matter how much younger they are, how more athletic they are than the other guy. If they're part of a scheme that plays to their strength and that scheme is getting figured out, which I think is what's happening with the Chiefs defense, then you're going to have problems. I always say, Steve Spagnuolo is not an idiot, right? He's not somebody who doesn't know what he's doing, who hasn't had success in this league. He was playing Daniel Sorensen for a reason. He was going with Ben Neiman and Anthony Hitchens over Nick Bolton and Willie Gay for a reason. He's been very stubborn about keeping Chris Jones at defensive end for a reason. You know, it's not just because, hey, if we do all this stuff, if we make all these changes, we'll be better.
So what was the reason about the Sorensen-Thornhill?
I suspect, you know, I've never heard this from them. I haven't investigated this, but My guess is the way Thornhill plays, I think he's a more instinctive player, and when you're more athletic, when you're somebody who's prone to getting to the football and making plays on the ball, you're probably somebody who's going to be fooled every now and then. You're probably somebody who's going to jump routes. I said it, and going back to the Buffalo game, if you really watch the film, there's two plays in that game, a long touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders and a long pass to Stephon Diggs on that corner post route. He's on the field. And really, the ball, he's in the air. So I don't know what his responsibility was in that coverage, but my guess is he's probably somebody who's not reading that correctly, and all of a sudden a big play happens. Because when you're in this defense and you have mediocre corners, guess what? You got to cover for the corners every now and then.
Well, even the coaches pretty much admitted it was Sorensen.
Yeah.
I mean, they told you, and they talk about eye discipline, and they
that eye discipline on the Dawson Knox touchdown
right.
play.
I mean, yeah. as much as they'll throw someone under the bus, they basically told you. Well, and again, if you don't know whose fault a play was, Tyrann Mathieu will let you know. He'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I'm not going to defend Sorensen because he hasn't played well, but I'm saying the sample size on Juan Thornhill this year isn't so big that I'm saying, wow, he's going to come in here and all of a sudden turn into Ed Reed. Like, I think it's very easy.
No, just be an average safety because Sorensen's not.
What if he's not that?
Well, you've got to find out.
I get that, but I'm just saying, what if he's not that? I'm saying I give Spagnuolo and his staff the benefit of the doubt in saying, if they were going with Sorensen when he was playing so poorly for that long of a stretch, there had to be something that Juan Thornhill wasn't doing correctly that was keeping him off the field.
The hope is that he returns to what he was in 2019, like when we had so much hope, like because he played pretty well in that season.
And I don't think it's an injury thing anymore. I don't think it's a knee thing.
It's probably in his head.
I don't even know if it's that. I think he's just not doing what they want him to do in practice. I think it can be that simple. Now, I get it, and this reminds me a lot of when Eric Berry was hurt in 2018, he was like, as soon as Eric Berry comes back, the defense is going to be better. That's the difference. And I think it's just, at some point, it's okay to say the defensive talent's not that good. And maybe you can change some stuff up to make that better. But ultimately, they haven't been good on defense for 3 years. They just had a really nice run at the end of 2019 where they got it together.
They've been better than this the last 2 years. They've been middle of the pack defensively the last 2 years. And this year, they're like, there's like four teams that have given up more yards per game.
How are they in the Super Bowl? No one ever talks about that.
In the Super Bowl itself? You mean like the game itself?
Yeah, the game itself. What? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't remember a ton, but I mean, I remember
they
got like
31 points.
Okay. I mean,
a lot of flags.
A lot.
People don't talk about that.
Well, you're talking about last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, look, they got their ass kicked in that Super Bowl from pillar to post. I'm not going to sit here and argue.
Early on, they played well, and they had a goal line stand that people forget about.
And then they were driving the ball down the field. Kelce had a drop, and I think that team started to, and Tom Brady's team, started to figure them out a little bit. I'm not saying, nobody's saying they're a good defense, but I think it's dishonest to say they've always been this bad. This is just a continuation of how bad they've been for the past 3 years, because they haven't. Like, they've been middle of the pack. They've had some bad games here and there, but they've been middle of the pack. Right now, they're bottom third.
I would argue that their best games have come against weak offenses.
Oh, that's probably true. I mean, that's probably true. But they also held Derrick Henry to 69 yards rushing in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago. You know, they also slowed down the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game last year. You know, like, those are good teams. Those are teams that are difficult to stop, and they did well enough against them. I mean, they didn't go shut them down, but they held their own against them just fine. My point is just like, That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to argue, and certainly wouldn't, that this has got the chance to be a top third defense in the NFL. But I think there's a reasonable, I'm not saying even expectation, but a reasonable hope that they can get back to being a mediocre defense this year. That's it. It sounds like you're saying that's too much to hope for.
I don't think they can get there. I just don't see. I don't think they can get there with Chris Jones playing defensive end.
Now, that might be true.
I'm here for the argument of, if he moves a defensive tackle and he's able to create more pressure from the interior, that allows other guys to succeed, I'm here for that.
That might be true.
But I guarantee you, if you go back and look at their numbers over the last 3 years against really good quarterbacks and really good offenses and against weaker quarterbacks, and lesser offenses. To your point, that AFC championship game a couple years ago, the Titans weren't nearly as evolved as they were, as they are now. So you, all you had to do was stop Derrick Henry. You go back to the Buffalo game last year, an AFC championship game, Josh Allen, and that offense wasn't as evolved as it is now.
That's not what everybody was saying at the time, man. Everybody was talking about this.
Do you think that offense is different now than it was back when they played in the AFC title game?
I don't think you're giving that offense enough credit.
I almost cussed.
Corey Davis.
That offense is pretty damn good.
Tannehill had like 40 touchdowns that year.
It was pretty damn good.
I'm saying look at that offense now versus what it was then. I'm saying it's more evolved. All they had then was A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry.
And Jonnu Smith was
Last year they had Diggs.
He's talking about Tennessee. You're talking about Buffalo.
Okay, isn't that who you're talking? You're talking about Tennessee,
Buffalo
last year, to me, was a really good offense. Like a really good offense, wasn't it? I mean,
well, Zach Moss didn't play in that championship game, right? Dawson Knox wasn't the player he is now. Emmanuel Sanders wasn't on the field.
Okay, I mean, but I mean, like,
I hear what you're saying. All I'm saying is,
they were the second offense in the NFL last year in yards behind the Chiefs. Maybe they're even better this year, but I'm saying, like you said, they did bad against good offenses. That offense was the best offense in the NFL outside of the Chiefs.
That's the one game I'll give you.
Okay, that's it. That's it.
That's the one game I'll give you.
Didn't they like in the? I mean, okay.
I mean, when they saw the Drew Breeses, when they saw the Tom Brady's, when they've seen 2018, when they were seeing all those teams, well, heck, you talk about the Titans beat them in the regular season.
Yeah, but that was a relatively low-scoring game in 2019 when they beat them.
What about the divisional round against the?
It was like 30-29.
What about the divisional round against the Browns?
Well, they weren't a great offensive team. They were an okay offensive team. And here's the constant: when Spagnuolo gets matched up against a younger quarterback, he can fool him. As you saw with Taylor Heineke last week, Jalen Hurts was an outlier, I think, but even he played well. Josh Allen last year, they were able to fool. They fooled him when they played in the regular season. They had success against him. But teams and quarterbacks grow. They evolve. They ain't fooling Tom Brady. Okay? They ain't fooling Aaron Rodgers. They ain't fooling Dak Prescott. You know? So when you get those kind of teams with those kinds of skill players around you, that changes the equation.
Aaron Rodgers with Matt Moore.
Almost. Did he have a bad game in that game?
Aaron Rodgers, four touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that was 31-24.
Yeah. And so ultimately, once you mitigate that factor, the whole defense is built on fooling people. The whole defense is built on the back end, you know, running all these different coverages, running Tyrann Mathieu all over the place, and providing enough time for the pass rush to get home. But the pass rush isn't getting home, and the corporate ain't fooling anybody, you're going to have problems. That's all I'm saying.
So until those problems change.
I think that's a very fair comment.
I think it's true. And I think your point about Chris Jones is a fair one. Like, I'll admit that I thought I was very intrigued by the possibility of him at defensive end.
You got to go back.
They don't have many playmakers on defense, right? Like, they don't have difference makers. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are difference makers. They're guys that know they can cause problems against anybody in the league if they're in one-on-one. The Chiefs don't have really, like, they need a playmaker on defense.
They got two guys. They got Mathieu and Jones.
Right, and Mathieu hasn't been making many plays yet this year, and Chris Jones hasn't either. And you're right. So I think that's fair. Like, they need him back to being a difference, a guy that disrupts things, to a guy that screws up the whole play without it being scheme-based just because he beat his guy.
Yep.
I totally agree with you on that. That has to start happening.
Right, let's go with some revisionist history here. I've been scanning this Super Bowl, right?
Okay.
Oh, no.
The one he hasn't watched?
It just pisses me off at some of the things that the Chiefs did to themselves. It irritates me. So this is what Tampa's offense did against the Chiefs in the first half. All right? My point is, sign me up for this if they go up against Tampa again. So, first drive for Tampa, 3 and out, 4 yards, punt. Second possession for Tampa, 4 plays, punt. Third possession for Tampa, 75-yard touchdown drive. Fourth possession for Tampa, they drove down, and somehow the Chiefs had a miraculous goal line stand, and they forced the turnover on downs. Fifth possession in the first half, They hold Tampa to a field goal, 4th and 5 at the Chiefs 22. They kick the field goal. Do you remember what happened there? Offsides!
Yeah.
And then the next play, it's a touchdown. That's a stupid, self-inflicted wound that handed Tampa 4 points. Then the 5th drive was a touchdown. You remember what happened there? Andy Reid, timeout. Tampa's trying to go into halftime.
Yeah, I remember that.
Andy Reid, timeout. Tampa's trying. Oh, okay, then. Oh, you don't want us to go into halftime with this lead? Let me build on this. And so my point is, if they would have played smart football and not been distracted and everyone been on the same page, the defense did their job in the first half of that game. But Andy Reid didn't. And there was a stupid special teams penalty that gave them 4 points, but they forced 3 punts. They had a goal line stand. They stopped them for a field goal, and the special teams handed the ball right back to Tampa. And so it was, yes, the score looks terrible, but if you tell me that that's the kind of defensive performance I'm going to get when the Chiefs take on an elite offense, I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Look up holding penalties.
Oh yeah, the penalties were terrible.
There was a couple of those,
and that was part of that last touchdown drive. Unbelievable penalty after penalty, and that counts. Yeah. But my point is, they did have some success, but they were so what's the word? Distracted.
Yeah, they were
mental mistakes, mental errors.
A mess,
you know,
as a team that day.
So that's all.
It sounds revisionist to me.
Yeah, and then the Chiefs offense. And the Chiefs' offense got shut down. That's the bigger problem to me in that Super Bowl. You don't score. You didn't score.
Yeah, your offense is supposed to score. That team's offense is supposed to score.
Right, because you're not the defense. This Chiefs defense ain't going out there and shutting anyone to 10 points.
Yeah, nobody's asking this Chiefs defense to go win games. They're just asking them to not go lose games.
If the Chiefs are going to score 9,
the offense has to go win the game.
Maybe nobody.
Right.
No one. Let's take a break back after this on WHB. All right, as Jake says, let's just get the poop. What's the score going to be between the Chiefs and the Titans on Sunday?
You know, if you'd asked me that on Sunday night, I would have said Chiefs by 10.
Now it's Chiefs by 12.
Then I watched Buffalo play the Titans, and I thought, that would be wrong. I think it's a bad matchup for them. And it's tough for me because I don't know if Julio Jones is going to play, which I think is a big factor in this. Titans are beat up in the secondary. So, but Chiefs would have scored points against them anyway, whether Christian Fulton and Caleb Farley, those guys, were healthy or not. I just feel like they can't stop Derrick Henry right now. So I'm taking Titans. I'll take Titans 30-28.
Who wins tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Denver Broncos or the Cleveland Browns led by Case Keenum? Tell me the running backs again, Jake. You've got
De'Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton.
Looks like Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to play either.
Right.
I think they'll have one starting tackle back. The other will not play. And so, but Jarvis Landry might come back.
Are you making the case for me?
Well, I'm trying to.
I was at that game. It was rough. They're beat up. They were beat up in a bad Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt going down with that calf injury. They thought he looked like he was out for the season the way he stayed down. Look, I will say this, and this may be a little bit hot. I think Case Keenum will play better than Baker Mayfield in this offense.
Ooh.
He played in this system when he was in Minnesota. They went on that big run back in 2017. Once they have Odell back and Landry back, I just think he will play more comfortably and understand his role better. I think it's very hard for Maker with Odell on the field to figure it out. They ain't winning this game, though. All those things you just mentioned are factors, all those injuries. So I will take the Broncos in a must-win situation for them.
And if they don't win this game, good God.
It's over. You can't ask for a better. Now they've been beat up too. I'll give Denver. Denver and Cleveland have been the two most beat up teams in the AFC for sure. Maybe the NFL. Denver's lost like 7-8 starters over the course of the first 6 weeks. But yeah, that Cleveland, their backfield's a mess. They're starting three backups in the backfield. I just don't know how you overcome that.
What about Bengals at Ravens?
Well, like I said, I think the Bengals, if you haven't watched the Bengals play this year, they're not the most impressive team. They have their flaws, but their defense flies around. Ja'Marr Chase is the best young receiver in football right now. Joe Burrow, I think they said he had 13 touchdown passes last year through 10 games. He's got 14 now through 6. But they ain't beating the Ravens. The way the Ravens beat up on the Chargers, John Harbaugh's the coach of the year right now. I know Mike McCarthy's going to get a lot of talk, a lot of buzz, early buzz for that. But John Harbaugh, what they've lost, and now they look without Ronnie Stanley.
He's out for the year.
John Harbaugh is probably the coach of the year, and Lamar Jackson is top two MVP. So I think they continue doing what they've been doing.
Not a lot of great matchups besides those two this weekend.
A lot of buys, a lot of good teams on buys.
Right, and just at least mismatches on paper. And look, you mentioned you saw Arizona beat up on Cleveland. They won't lose this week either because they're hosting the Texans. But how impressive was Arizona to see them up close?
Best team in football right now. You know, after Buffalo lost, I thought after Buffalo beat the Chiefs, given the circumstances that put them over the top, even though they have one loss. But when you watch Arizona play, I think people just think, oh, it's just Kyler Murray out there with a college offense. They've got a lot of talent.
What an assortment of weapons they have offensively.
I mean, you start going down and just added Zach Ertz, but with Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk and AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins, they can.
They added James Conner, and he's been good in the backfield.
Conner's been good. And, you know, one of the least talked about statistics is that Kyler Murray only has 37 rushing yards this year.
Wow.
He had almost 800 last year. And so when you watch him in the pocket, you watch him throwing the football, and you remember all the talk about the size and can this offense work. He's, you know, I just mentioned Lamar Jackson, MVP. The MVP race is crazy right now. Like, who would you pick as your MVP because you've got Kyler, you got Lamar, you've got Dak Prescott,
Derrick Henry.
Brady will be in there, Derrick Henry, Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen will be in the conversation.
I think you got to keep Mahomes in the conversation.
Oh, he's like towards the bottom right now, man. Top 10. He's top 10 for sure.
Okay.
but I'm saying if you're picking right now.
No. Yeah, not right now, but I wouldn't take him out of the conversation yet. I might put Kyler Murray there. But you know what? At this time last year, Russell Wilson was everybody's pick. You know, there's a long way to go in this season. A long way to go. Yep. The thing that's underrated to me about the Cardinals is their defense. I mean,
that's the point I was going to make.
Yeah.
Their
pass rush is legit, and they got speed. Yeah. They have a defense, and that's one thing that I think the Chiefs need to, at some point, like that's. I wanted Jeremy Chinn. You wanted Winfield, but that Isaiah Simmons type player.
Tom Brady.
Guys.
He's your guy.
I mean, he's.
He's leading yards. He's over 2,000 yards.
I know.
17 touchdown passes, and 3 interceptions. Even,
think about it. Brady, Mahomes, and Rodgers aren't even on the tip of your tongue having this discussion.
That's crazy. Think Stafford needs to be in that discussion, too.
But.
Yeah, the point you're making is legit. They've got a new age defense in Arizona.
Yeah, they can run. They can cover people. No. You know, that's a good defense.
It
is
never
safety in football, Buda Baker.
Yeah.
It has never been tougher to answer this question. We might have to think through the commercial break. Because I've asked this over the years many times with you in studio. And I don't want to just focus on what they've done this year. The body of work counts as well. But who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFL?
God.
I tried to do this the other. We'll take a break and think about this. But I tried to do this.
Think about it.
The other night, and it's almost impossible.
Yeah. We're in a huge QB revolution right now.
I remember a couple of years ago when we did this, and we all were like sold on three or four of them, and it was like a revolving door. We couldn't come up with five that we felt great about. Now. I have a hard time just cutting off at 10.
I forgot naming Justin Herbert. He'll be in the conversation, too.
I mean, we'll go to Brady, Mahomes, Prescott, Stafford, Herbert, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's very to me, very difficult to say. Okay, this is the top five right now. We'll get your answers after this. All three, you've got to give me your answers after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. So I don't feel great about this, but this is just what I did in the commercial break.
Serious homework.
I'm not doing any particular order here. So my top five are in whatever order. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray is my top five.
Oh, man. You're talking about just based on name, based on
who they are and who I would want right now.
Who would I want on Sunday? Okay, that's the correct. Who you would take?
Yeah, just who do I want?
Okay.
Who's my quarterback? Who are the best quarterbacks? Who's the best five?
Who you got, Nate?
It's hard.
Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes.
I've seen enough. He's broken my heart enough. I'm not taking Brady off the list until he retires. Yeah. And oh, by the way, he's got over 2,000 yards passing.
Yeah.
He's leading the league.
And like 16 touchdown passes?
15, I mean, 17 touchdowns and 3 picks. Yeah.
He went quietly to a team that was out of the playoffs and they won the Super Bowl. I mean, he wins. He puts up stats.
But what's the argument against? There's no argument against. So Mahomes, Brady.
The first three are easy. If you're going off, who would you take right now? I'd take Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why I feel like that's.
Yeah.
Those are the three. But then. Of this next wave, so I go Josh Allen, Kyler Murray today. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going Josh Allen, Justin Herbert.
I see Herbert. He was part of it. Yeah, sure.
Just the big guys who can run. I just think it just gives you so much.
I got no argument against you. That's a statement. There can be any. There's at least seven or eight guys. Okay, all right. That's your.
I think
fifth
I'm
guy.
Going Herbert Murray.
Terrible.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be interested to see where Joe Burrow goes from here. You know, I think that he's got a chance to be great.
We were saying that when you were walked away in the break. We said even the middle of the road guys, like the Ryan Tannehills, the Joe Burrows, the Matt Ryan, even though he's older, is still a pretty good quarterback. Those guys are still good. You do this exercise 5 years ago, and there's like 10
Russell
guys.
Wilson
I wouldn't even touch him. It's Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And
Dak Prescott. Or Deshaun Watson.
And Dak Prescott. I mean, you know, Dak Prescott, like the Patriots dared him to throw. They were like, we're going to stop the run. You got to beat us with your arm. And he went out. And
I didn't hear nothing from you.
Well,
he's lived up to it. What?
Yeah. I have Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes, right? And then... I wrote down Lamar Jackson, and I wrote down Kyler Murray.
I didn't even bring up Lamar Jackson.
But I have a hard time not putting Stafford in that group.
Well, then put him in.
I don't know who I want to drop, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray.
Drop the guy that has nine touchdown passes and five interceptions, all right? Drop him.
Let me I think that to your point, what we're going to see with all these really good quarterbacks is the difference in many cases is going to be the supporting cast. There are certain quarterbacks, like we know with like Rodgers, I think we know with Rodgers and Brady in particular, and I might put Mahomes in there now, even without a great supporting cast, they're going to put up numbers. Mm-hmm. But some of these other, like the difference might literally just be from 1 year to the next, which guy has the right supporting cast around him, which guy's in the right system. You know,
Look past that. What's your gut tell you? Who's the five best quarterbacks?
So, I mean, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, for sure. And I like Herbert a lot. And I like Burrow. He's not putting up the numbers yet to go with those guys. But, like, I don't know. I like him. I might put him up. But, he's not, like, justifying being up there. You're asking me going off my gut. You know? But... it's hard. There's so many good guys. Like it's really hard.
I said we haven't seen a QB renaissance like this since the 80s when you had Montana and Elway and Marino and Jim Kelly and Warren Moon and these guys, even like the guys who were outside of that top mix, like the Boomer Esiasons. I think when we look back on this group 20 years from now, we'll say this is the best quarterback.
You really got to explain that to us in Kansas City because we were a part of that, Jeff.
We watched everybody else.
Right. Thanks for.
Yeah.
Who's the Todd Blackledge of this group?
No, I made a joke.
Guys, guys, Tua, changed the game. Is Tua, the game changed.
Is Tua the black ledge of the group?
I counted Josh Rosen.
I counted like 27 starting quarterbacks that I would have begged for in the 90s with Marty Schottenheimer. Begged. Jeff, where are you going this weekend?
I'll be home.
Oh, good.
Taking a break. I mean, on my couch.
Take a break.
Watching Michigan Northwestern and watching Chiefs Titans and a few other NFL games.
Michigan just sitting right there.
Sitting pretty.
Waiting to claim a playoff spot. Hey. So dangerously close.
Don't make me emotional, man. Don't make me leave here with tears in my eyes. Don't get me.
This could be
teasing me.
Don't get your hopes up.
Of the anger and disappointment from the past few years. And then this could be. What if this is the year?
You don't know this. Michigan State's having a great year,
right,
too. And we play them next week.
Well, I know Mel Tucker's a coach, and Gary Barnett wishes nothing but bad things on him. So
you're not beating Ohio State, you're not beating Penn State, and you might lose to Michigan State.
Oh, boy. Thank you for that. Wow. Thank you for that, Sunshine.
Wow. That's what you get for talking crap on his Chiefs defense.
That's right. That's put those glasses back on. Yeah. So you can see things properly.
NFL.com.
I think your vision's impaired when you take those things off.
Well, at least that's the only thing that's impaired from these days. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.